E and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A massive worldwide computer outage crippling U.S. hospitals, banks, and airlines. A faulty software update from cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike caused customers running Microsoft Windows to come to a crashing halt Friday.
Computer chaos from coast to coast and around the world. Tens of thousands of flights canceled and delayed after what many are calling the largest global IT outage in history. 911 systems, hospitals, banks, courts, and especially airports practically brought to a standstill.
ABC's Ariel Reshef. More congressional Democrats, including a third senator, now calling on President Biden to drop out of the presidential race. The president, recovering from COVID, remained defiant, saying he'll be back on the campaign trail next week. Firefighters overnight battling a major fire that broke out at a historic Baptist church in Dallas. First Baptist Dallas dates back to 1890. This is ABC News. New information on the investigation into the attempted assassination of former President Trump. Authorities are investigating whether the suspect, Thomas Matthew Crooks, used a drone to surveil the Pennsylvania rally site sometime before the shooting. Two infants needed medical attention due to smoke inhalation as a fast-moving brush fire in Southern California has now spread to 330 acres.
Be advised, we also have multiple families in the area. I need a medical response for multiple young children exposed to smoke during their escape.
Audio from Broadcastify, what is now the Fork Fire, began in the San Gabriel Mountains in northern Los Angeles County Friday afternoon. At least three people are dead. Dozens remain missing after a boat in the waters off northern Haiti caught fire. Officials say up to 80 Haitians were on board trying to flee to Turks and Caicos due to gang violence gripping much of the country. The boat's captain is among the dead. Dave Packer, ABC News.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. Nationwide, community college enrollment grew by 100,000 students last year, and a large percentage of them were from lower-income neighborhoods. Here's Deborah Van Fleet.
At Western Nebraska Community College, TRIO Programs Director Tanya DeWitt says a number of their students who qualify for the federally funded program designed to help students with economic and other challenges has definitely increased. TRIO students must be a first-generation college student, have a household income not exceeding 150% of the federal poverty guideline, or have a disability. TRIO participants receive academic assistance, and DeWitt says many benefit from the Growth Mindset program.
Instead of, I can't do it, well, you can't do it right now, sure, but you can. All those negative, immediate, oh, well, no, I can't do nursing. Well, why is that? I just can't. Well, that's not true. So let's get to the bottom of it. Let's see what that is that's keeping you from being able to be successful.
DeWitt says the academic supports include in-person tutoring, 24/7 virtual tutoring, study guides, and online programs that assist with writing and research. She says the nursing program is very popular with TRIO students, and interest in the trades offerings is also growing. DeWitt says the ability to access tutoring any hour of the day or night, including holidays, is huge for some of their TRIO students.
We have the ones that are single parents in the middle of the night. That's when they're doing their homework.
Roughly 10% of WNCC's TRIO students are single parents. The Institute for Women's Policy Research reports that a large percentage of college students who are parents face enormous barriers to academic success, many of them economic. Support for this reporting was provided by Lumina Foundation. I'm Deborah Van Fleet. Find our trust indicators at publicnewsservice.org.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. For tonight, mostly cloudy, a low in the upper 50s. For the weekend, a mixture of sunshine and clouds, some pop-up storms around, and highs right around 80. Temps warm up a little more next week, highs into the low 80s, humidity climbs, and still a few chances for storms. It's 60 right now.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I'm live from Madison and welcome hilarious comedian Pat McGann and singer-songwriter Marta Hansen joins the show and performs live in studio.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay, this is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who travels so he can pretend he's on the lam, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, Wisconsin. How are we doing tonight? We are back in our regularly scheduled time, and I got to tell you, it feels amazing. It's great to be with you on this Friday night. We are broadcasting live statewide. So wherever you're joining us from in our incredible state of Wisconsin, the state of summer, welcome. Great to have you with me. Conrad is riding shotgun tonight, as usual. How are we doing, buddy?
You know, I'm doing good.
We got a lot of stuff going on tonight. We're covering a lot of bases. We've got, at 7:30, Tim Freese will be here. He runs an operation called Green Bay Ghost Tours. We'll have a little ghost tour talk with Tim at 7:35. He'll be in the studio. That's exciting. And then it's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. Conrad, what does that mean?
Terry Barr.
Terry Barr will join us at 8:35 with some new great music. She is my conduit to new music, and she never disappoints, and I have no reason to think she will tonight. So Terry will be here at 8:35. Tim Freese will be here at 7:35. We're going to talk a little bit about Bob Newhart. We've got some great clips from him, from his stand-up, from his show. There's something going on in Green Bay tonight, Conrad, and I don't like it. I see a lot of nerds. I'm not gonna lie to you.
Yeah.
They are out in force.
Must be Comic-Con, maybe?
Comic-Con is next week, though, right?
I have no idea.
I think it's that UFO thing that Kristen Leidy was talking about. Actually, everyone, it looks like they're having a blast. And they are dressed up in makeup and costumes, walking around downtown Green Bay. Unless they're actual aliens, then we've got a problem on our hands. But we'll figure that out. But a beautiful night here in downtown Green Bay, which is where we're broadcasting from. Here downtown at City Deck Landing. So a beautiful night to listen to the radio. That's how I would. And everybody is walking by with gelato. I feel left out. There's a gelato place right next to our station here. And I had some the other night. It is fantastic. What did you try again?
I had the espresso.
I did too.
You know what? I got some today again.
Did you really?
I got the peanut butter cup.
That's going to set you back. It's expensive. I had a small the other night, and it was like almost $5. I liked it so much, I went back for another small. I had the pistachio, and I had the espresso. Yeah, they were both outstanding. But it's nice to, it just feels like summer. There's like people walking by the window, eating gelato. I don't know. I guess that's all it takes for me to think of summer is gelato. Sherry is checking in on the stream. Hi, Pete and Conrad. Doing great in Horicon. Beautiful out. It sure is, Sherry. And she responds and says, yummy, to our gelato talk. So maybe we're making you hungry, Sherry. We don't mean to do that, but if you're in the area and you have the means, you could probably set up a payment plan if you wanted a medium gelato. That's gonna run you, I don't know, what do you think that costs, Conrad?
15
bucks? That's an escalation. Small's like $4.59, and it goes up to $15. The other thing we're going to talk about tonight, I think this is exciting. I saw this. I watched the show 1883 recently, and Sam Elliott is on it. Then last night, I saw Hulk Hogan's picture all over the place. We're going to talk about the mustache, because this needs to be talked about tonight. I feel like, what better show to cover this divisive strip of facial hair where people are polarized? Where do you fall with the mustache, Conrad?
If I could grow one, I'd have one.
If you can't grow a mustache?
No.
You shave, though, right?
I have bad genes when it comes to facial hair.
Okay. Does your dad have like a full beard? Or
yeah, it took him a while to get
there. You'll get there.
He always tells me, I'm like, because my brother has a full beard. Most of my family can grow facial hair.
Okay.
And then there's me. And then my dad always goes, yeah, maybe when you're 30. That's when it started growing for me.
We all have a cross to bear. If you can't grow a mustache, that's not like the end of the world, right? I mean,
no.
Yeah, you'll get by. But let's play that. We have a little intro for our mustache segment. Let's go ahead and play that.
Some say it's a symptom of manliness. Others a cause. The mustache.
That, of course, is Ron Swanson from Parks and Rec. As much as I didn't really watch Parks and Rec much, he was such a funny character. And I love him as an actor. So there you go. That's our question tonight, too. Is the mustache a symptom of manliness? The cause? Or is it a guy trying too hard? And if you have a mustache, please weigh in. I want to hear from you. Let's figure this out and let's talk it through. And I had a mustache during COVID. I grew one and, you know, I thought, what the heck? No, I'm not seeing anybody anyway. I'm at home all the time. So my son and I grew mustaches. First, I grew a beard. Then I got rid of the beard and I went full blown like Frank Zappa. I had a little soul patch and a mustache. So that's our question tonight. Where do you stand on the mustache? Is it a sign of a symptom of masculinity, the cause of it, or a desperate attempt to look masculine? You can even share who you think pulls it off the best. Some famous mustaches are Sam Elliott, Tom Selleck, Burt Reynolds, Rolly Fingers, the old pitcher, and of course, Nick Offerman. Conrad, let's post it just to show that I've gone through this. I'm bringing street cred. I did have a mustache, like I said, during COVID. I think we have a picture of that. Put that on the stream. If you're watching on the stream, that's me with a mustache. Not my best look. I had fun with it. That's the only time in my adult life I've ever had a mustache. And I don't know. But the worst thing I think about the mustache is when you are eating or someone with a mustache is eating and food gets in it. I'm done. If I see that, I can't. I have to leave the conversation or wherever it is. But let us know what your thoughts are on the mustache. Is it a symptom of masculinity, the cause of it, or a desperate attempt to be masculine? I think very few people can pull it off. I think some guys, you know, wear it well, and it's flattering. Tom Selleck always did it. Burt Reynolds did it. And Sam Elliott, I can't imagine him without one. He would just look strange. But let us know what you think. Give us your thoughts. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Conrad, who do you think can do the mustache?
You know, actually, I think it's Tom Selleck. But I have a funny memory with that is that he, in Friends, when Chandler and Joey try to be more like him,
that's right.
they grew out their mustaches. And it looks so, so bad.
Yeah, see, not everybody can do it. And I'm not saying just bushy is necessarily good either. You gotta find a balance. If you're going to have a mustache, you got to figure out what works for you. There's probably consultants on this kind of thing, too. You probably go to like a salon and they'll like advise you. So There you go. That's a heck of a start to the show, I think, the mustache. Big weekend at the box office. Twisters opens today. Might have actually opened last night after midnight. Pardon me. But that is expected to be number one at the box office. It will be, it's obviously released wide, I think over 4,000 screens in America. The follow-up to Twister from the mid-90s, which I didn't love, I'll be honest, but I am going to see this, and I'm cautiously optimistic. I think as I get older, I'm a little more forgiving when I see a film. Like if there's an eye-rolling moment, I'm willing to look past it if I like what else I'm seeing. But it could be really cheesy. Or maybe it's great. We'll have to see. I'm definitely going to see that this weekend. So, do you believe me, Conrad?
I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I kept saying I was going to see Bad Boys. I still have not seen Bad Boys, and I'm kind of embarrassed about it.
Well.
It's going to wait till it comes to home video. Go to Redbox.
Well, you can't anymore.
Is Redbox gone?
They just got shut down.
Like what, today?
I think like a couple days ago.
No kidding.
Yeah, they filed for bankruptcy, I believe.
My gosh. Yeah. Well, it's like, that was like the next step to video stores. You can't even, you know what I mean? Like, I occasionally see people outside the grocery store getting a Redbox. I don't think I've ever gotten one. It's just too easy.
So I went to Walmart today, and they, usually Walmart has the Redboxes there. But I saw the sign on it and said, this Redbox is discontinued. And I looked it up, and I was like, oh.
Netflix had, they have it going on. I mean, yeah. Netflix is like, and they did it smart. Like they used to mail people the DVDs. Yep. Remember that? And then I was like, all right, well, streaming comes along. You think, well, Netflix is done. Nope. They pivoted and made it this, it might be the, like, the highest grossing business in the world right now. It's insane. So good for Netflix. The other thing I wanted to talk about, this is driving me absolutely bananas. Autocorrect. We've talked about it on the phone, but today on the phone, we've talked about it on the show previously. Today, my daughter's out running errands, or my son was out, and he said, do you guys want a burrito from our favorite local place in Marinette called Blue Bike Burrito? So I said, sure. And I sent him my order. And then I see my daughter, she asked me to text him. So I said, steak burrito for my daughter. With voice, it came out to steak Naruto. How does autocorrect, first of all, Naruto, I guess it sounds like burrito, but what the hell is Naruto? Steak burrito. I speak somewhat articulately. I can't believe autocorrect did this to me. Yeah, get my daughter a steak Naruto. It's literal meaning, by the way, for Naruto. It refers to the fish cake roll in cup noodles or Japanese ramen, which is the favorite food of Naruto, the character, and the author. Because Naruto is apparently a Japanese cartoon. But I'm telling you, these tech people, these IT people, tech people, code writers, whatever they are messing with people. I can't even tell you sometimes the words that come up when I use basic language. For what it's worth, the steak Naruto was very delicious. All right, coming up next, we're going to hear some Bob Newhart. Bob Newhart passed away yesterday at the age of 94 at his home in Los Angeles. He is an absolute comedy legend. Stand-up, sitcoms. He was great friends with Don Rickles. We'll hear a little bit about that next, too. Great to have you with me on this Friday night. Tim Freese is here to talk about his ghost tours at 7:35. I cannot wait to have that conversation. Maybe he'll weigh in on the mustache, too. We'll see. Does Tim, Conrad, does Tim have a mustache?
We'll have to see.
Oh, interesting. The plot thickens. And then, of course, Terry Barr will be here. It's Friday night. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
News from the Center, WRCE.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My money tip today, never make a major purchase based solely on the monthly payment number. You know, whether it's like a splurge buy now, pay later thing that you think, well, maybe that is possible. or a car payment that kind of sort of fits in your budget if you look at it sideways. It's super tempting to be optimistic, I know. Whenever I want something, I think, I could probably make that work. But that can lead to a world of financial trouble down the road. So before you buy anything with a monthly payment, make sure you consider the long-term implications. Like, is this really in the budget, including your savings goals? When you can, I recommend waiting a couple of days before you buy something big. And of course, checking it against your budget. This is Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. For more practical money tips, visit workmoney.org. Until next time, take good care.
This is News from the Setter, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Get up, Paul. I want to drive them home. When you're feeling blue, think it's just the
home. Welcome back. Sherry says, love Sam, not the Hulk. Mustache does not make you manly, but in Sam, alludes sexy. Oh, Sherry, you're really letting us into your mind here. Sherry says exudes sexy. There we go. I knew what you meant, Sherry. She says great about everything, especially the ghosts. I had two visitors today. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, Sherry, you're going to want to hear the interview with Tim when he's here, because you'll have to share some details with us. The question tonight is the mustache a symptom of masculinity, to quote Ron Swanson, the cause of it, or a desperate attempt to be masculine? And who pulls it off the best? I agree with Conrad. I think Selleck probably. And you know what? It's weird about Tom Selleck. When he got rid of his, he still looked like a handsome guy. He didn't look weird.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh, he's like, I actually said, why did you have the mustache? Because some guys look more handsome with a mustache. It's like got a distinguished kind of thing, like all the porn guys. But Tom Selleck, yeah, he looks good. He looks even good. Even without the mustache, I thought he looked good. So that's our question of the night. Let us know your thoughts on the mustache. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Conrad, do you remember about a week ago? Well, probably about a month ago. I talked about this text I get, and they call me Yin. I get a text about once a week. Yin, review your health coverage options today. And I always do the thing where I click and I mark it as junk, and then I delete and mark as junk. So I don't just delete it. I tell them, stop. And I've clicked stop. They don't stop. So today I clicked on the link. They've got everything wrong about me except my phone number.
Must have been the person who had your phone number before you.
Yeah, but this, I've had this number for like since 96 maybe. And it's they think my name is Yin Lu. Which is kind of a cool name and easier to say than Schwabba. But it says, Yin, review your health coverage options today. Yin Lu, wrong street address, wrong birthday, wrong medical info, correct phone number. This is madness. How do I stop this? Just got to call him back. It's like,
you know what? It would be funny if Yin actually put a fake phone number for it.
And it happened to be mine.
Just came out to be yours.
And then we'll meet somewhere and we'll fall in love. It'll be like a rom-com. That could happen. Or I could just treat it how I treat political when I get political texts. But I use really terrible language when I get political texts I don't like.
I had a boss who, when he got scam calls, he would just scream into the phone.
Oh, I love that.
Because it would be on it was in a pizzeria. So when he'd,
oh, I love that.
This is Michelino's Pizzeria. What's your order? And then a scam call? Scream.
Oh, I love that. That's great. You remember Tom Clark was on the show a while back. He had a great thing, and he would post himself on Twitter taking calls from telemarketers, and he would just mess with them. And it was beautiful. It was so funny. And he'd say things like, hang on a second, let me get a pen. He would take like a minute, and the guy would be, are you still there, sir? Yep, just looking for my pen. It was so funny. So you could have a lot of fun, and they deserve it, as far as I'm concerned, because it's just, it's a mess. All right, Bob Newhart passed away yesterday, 94 years old. We have, this is Bob Newhart. He made famous, in his stand-up act, he would act like he's on the phone sometimes. He would play a driver's ed instructor who's in a horrible situation with a student driver, and it was just him. And they were just monologues, and it was his reactions and his words, and he was just brilliant. He won his stand-up albums, his first stand-up album in like 1961, won 3 Grammy Awards. First ever to reach the top of the Billboard charts. So here's Bob Newhart doing, you have the one with Abe Lincoln, Conrad?
Yeah.
All right, let's play that. This is Bob Newhart, some stand-up.
No paper there. Yeah, would you mind taking this down? You can fool all of the people some of the time. And some of the people all of the time. But you can't fool all the people all the time. Well, you keep doing it differently, Abe. I mean, the last quote we got was, you can fool all the people all the time. hold on, Abe. Yeah. Great. Abe? Yeah, they've come up with a thing on Grant. The next time they bug you about Grant's drinking, yeah, tell them you're going to find out what brand he drinks and send a case of it to all your other generals. No, Abe. It's like... It's like the brand is the reason that he's winning. No, Abe. Trust me, Abe, it's funny. Do it, okay?
So that's Bob Newhart. He was older there, but that was an old joke. And here's a fun fact for you. I saw this on Facebook today. Newspaper articles from the early 60s that said extreme right wing thought Bob Newhart was a communist for that bit and bits like it. It's so crazy how people just get bent out of shape and then eventually they come around and it's like, oh yeah, I guess it wasn't that bad. And he has 2 hit sitcoms and he's like one of the most beloved. And when I posted yesterday on Facebook that I wish I had met Bob Newhart, I had a lot of conservative friends saying, me too, he was the best ever. And I wonder if back then they would have felt differently. To me, that sounds pretty harmless, regardless of decade. But here's another Bob Newhart clip. This is from the Conan O'Brien show, and this is him talking about his friendship with Don Rickles. They were best friends.
You lost, I think, your best friend in the world, Don Rickles, not too long ago, and yes, we had a conversation about that, and I was curious. I know that you guys were best friends, but you guys have such different energies. I mean, Rickles up here, you down here, and it's a very different comedic energy, and I'm wondering how you became friends. How did that friendship work?
Well, I was in Vegas, and my wife, Ginny, and I were married. Ginny knew Don's wife, Barbara Rickles, Barbara Sklar at that time. So Don was in town. Don and Barbara were in town at the Sahara in the lounge. Don was in the lounge. And I was in the main room at the Desert Inn, which I always like to remind him that I was in the main room. And he was in the lounge.
Yeah.
So Ginny said, we've got to get together with Barbara and Don, because I'd never met Don before. I knew what he did, of course. Mm-hmm. But so he goes on at like 2 in the morning. That's his first show. So we went to the coffee shop and we sat there and Ginny was talking to Don. I was talking to Barbara. And now it's time to go in for Don's 4 o'clock show.
Mm-hmm.
4 o'clock in the morning. So we're walking in and Ginny said to me, she said, he is the sweetest man. He's just such a dear man. And he, you know, he's on the road a lot. Mindy, his daughter, was just born, and he wants to be home. And I said, well, honey, he's a lovely man, but his act is a little different than maybe you just saw.
Mm-hmm.
So we go in, and they put us right in the front row in the Sahara, so Don comes out. The first thing he says. He said, the stammering idiot from Chicago is in the audience with his hooker wife from Bayonne.
That's great. That's Bob Newhart. We have more Bob Newhart coming up. We have more mustache talk coming up. But next, at 7:35, we're going to welcome Tim Freeze. He's going to come into the studio, people, in person, and talk about his ghost tours that he does here in Green Bay. We'll do that next on Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. A massive worldwide computer outage crippling U.S. hospitals, banks, and airlines. A faulty software update from cybersecurity firm CrowdStrike caused customers running Microsoft Windows to come to a crashing halt Friday.
Computer chaos from coast to coast and around the world. Tens of thousands of flights canceled and delayed after what many are calling the largest global IT outage in history. 911 systems, hospitals, banks, courts, and especially airports practically brought to a standstill.
ABC's Ariel Reshef. More congressional Democrats, including a third senator, now calling on President Biden to drop out of the presidential race. The president, recovering from COVID, remained defiant, saying he'll be back on the campaign trail next week. Firefighters overnight battling a major fire that broke out at a historic Baptist church in Dallas. First Baptist Dallas dates back to 1890. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Brewers baseball is back. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Brewers back in action after having the week off for the All-Star game. They're in Minnesota to face off against the Twins. The Brewers still in first place with a 4.5 game lead over the Cardinals, but Milwaukee has lost 7 of their last 10 games. Brewers manager, Pat Murphy.
I think we're at a stage these last couple weeks where guys are, you know, no matter how much we talk about it, guys are like looking for the break and think we're a little disconnected, to be quite honest. And there's been some guys coming back from injuries, some new guys playing. It seems like things have kind of went against us. But this is the lull in the action that happens in any season. And you can't flinch, but you also can't say we're not going to do anything. You got to be realistic. Other teams came in and played with a little freedom. We aren't playing with any freedom at all.
Basketball, the Bucks lost to the Phoenix Suns 115-90. Milwaukee now 0-4 in the NBA Summer League action. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, partly sunny with a high near 80. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low around 60. And partly sunny with low 80s on Sunday. Slight chance of an afternoon storm. Sunday night, mostly cloudy, a low of 62. Slight chance of a storm Monday with a high near 81.
It's 57 at our studios.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
Nightline with Pete Schwabba.
This whole week, I've been trying to think of some maneuver I could say that would go viral and totally sell my soul for extra cash. I'm not putting myself above that.
How about Schwabba Habba? Or Schwabby Dada? Or Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong? Instead of the more you know, it just says Schwabba Dabba Ding Dong with a rainbow and a star shooting star.
Conrad, I think we got our promo.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights 7 till 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
John Ellingson is our guest. He's one of the co-directors of the Eau Claire Cube League.
It's a Swedish yard game. You would toss a baton trying to knock down your opponent's cubes.
You have teams from all over the country. What are some of the other names that stuck out to you?
Cube Hand Luke.
Nice. Yeah.
The Salty Baton.
Oh. Do you call the last 16 teams the Swedish 16?
Oh, I'm writing that down. That's pretty good.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, everybody.
everybody join us next time as we'll catch you up on news of the weekend and also the current status of the Democratic nominee Joe Biden. Not going to want to miss it. Be there.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
On the text line from the 715, Joe says, I love a good mustache. And then he continues, a little weird without the beard. So Joe likes a mustache if it's connected to a beard. Okay, that's fair. I've had both. But like I said, we posted a picture. I have a mustache. I had one at COVID, and we posted that. Tom from New Berlin posted a great mustache song, and we're going to play that soon. So stick around. You're not going to want to miss this. Sherry on the stream says, Tom Selleck, she likes his mustache too. And she says, I like them. Sherry likes the mustache. So we'll keep those texts coming. Let us know what your thoughts are on the mustache. And we will, is it a symptom of manliness? The cause? Or a desperate attempt to look masculine? Who pulls it off the best? And which is a nice segue because my guest here in studio has a mustache, but Joe would be happy he has a beard with it. It is my pleasure to welcome from Green Bay Ghost Tours, Tim Fries. Tim, how are you?
Good. Thank you.
So great to have you in the studio, buddy.
Yeah. Thank you for having me.
Did you have, was it a long drive for you or do you live in the area?
No, I just live on the west side of Marquette Ave.
Okay.
But it was a long walk because I forgot that our streets and the Comic-Con was going on. So I
Works, so like, is that like Green Bay Comic Con? What's happening?
I don't know.
Because Comic Con, I think technically is next week, I believe.
Oh, maybe.
But I know there's a UFO thing at the Tarleton, and it's not like aliens. It's some kind of music festival, Fringe Festival maybe, or something like that. So, but they look like they're having a great time.
Yeah.
Either way, welcome. The mustache looks great. So does the beard. It's great to have you here. Tell us a little bit about Green Bay Ghost Tours, please.
Well, do you want to know how I got into the paranormal first?
We could do that. Sure, absolutely. And then let us know a little more about the tours you do. Yeah, but how your entry into the world of the paranormal would be great.
Okay, well, I'll give you the short version. it started about 33 years ago. My dad had passed of cancer. And before he died, he had been really close to my daughter at the time. She's like 36 now. She was 4 at the time. Anyway, he always regretted that he couldn't say, he wanted to say goodbye and love you to her, before he died. And, of course, he couldn't because cancer is, pretty gross. Oh, thank you. thank you very much. Oh, there we go.
There we go.
Sorry, I'm pretty quiet.
You sounded like you were from the outer realm, so we had to move that mic a little closer.
Right. Yeah, I'm a pretty quiet guy. But so then when he was dying, he said, tell Meredith that I love her and goodbye. And I said, yeah, don't worry about it, Dad. I got you covered. We're good, And so anyway, when he died, he died at night. He came to her in her room at the end of her bed saying his grandpa as a blue and white light.
What the heck?
Yeah, I love you and goodbye. So anyway, after that, I started really...
Did you see that or did your daughter tell you that?
She told me that.
Wow.
Yeah, isn't that trippy? So it just kind of like got me on a journey. I started reading about different tribes and like the Tibetan shaman and their beliefs and just different... Every culture has a belief system in the spirit world, and some believe that a lot of them are around or come back to visit, to help out, and that kind of thing. So it just really started the ball rolling. So then I...
Wow. Does your daughter remember that? How old is she now?
She's 37 now. Yeah,
does
37.
She remember that happening?
She doesn't.
Wow.
I don't know. That's kind of sad because it's quite a memory
for me. What's her reaction when you tell her what she said? Like when you tell her about that, how does she react?
She says, well, I wish I could remember it because she did love Papa. I mean, my dad was, they were close. Yeah. Papa and her were really close. So she has a lot of fond memories, but she doesn't remember that.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So that got you started.
It did.
Where did you go from there? Did you search this stuff out, investigate? What did you do?
Yeah, well, I did. I started, reading a lot of books on it. Found out George Harrison had the same kind of experience with his dad as a blue-white coming to him. And so then I just kind of kept going with that. But then I thought, Green Bay's got a lot of history, the third biggest city, of course, 12th oldest settlement. And I just thought, well, why don't I start looking in Green Bay and see what we have here? And so I did. And it took me about 2.5 years to get the first ghost tour started and the research. And then from that, I got a publishing contract with History Press and wrote Haunted Green Bay.
Wow, nice.
Yeah, it came out in 2010 and still in publishing. And then I've been on several shows. But anyway, yeah. So that's the way it went.
That's so cool. All right, so tell us about the tours. What's a tour like? Like, if we signed up to come on one of your tours, what are we going to see? How long does it take? What's the experience like?
Well, it is a walking tour. I used to have a bus tour, a walking tour, and a cemetery tour, but I'm only doing a walking tour as of now.
Okay.
But it, you start at, like, the Captain's Walk. There's 5 locations. We go in 3 of the 5. We actually, I'll give you an EMF meter, electromagnetic field detector, which you can do a little ghost hunting. We explore the first 3. We go around the building, see if we can catch anything. I do tell a history and the ghost that's haunting those, each establishment. And then we go to St. Brennan's, which is built on one of the oldest cemeteries here in Wisconsin. And then we go to Bellin Billing, which is Dr. Julius D. Bellin. Then we go to Confetti's, which was a double murder suicide there. And then the YMCA, which was a double murder.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. So is it common knowledge that these places are haunted? Like, when you started looking into this, did people already tell you, well, these are the places you want to go? These are the haunted places, or is it your own research that brought you there?
A little of both. A lot of people, you know, when I said I was going to start, I was thinking about getting a ghost tour here. They were like, oh, did you hear about so-and-so, you know, did you hear about this place? You know, like, no, you know.
Wow.
So then I went to the library. I used a library and a Naval Museum and several historical society and started looking up to kind of validate, because with my ghost tour, I really wanted to validate who it might be and why they still might be there, why there's a strong connection to that place. Hmm. So that's what I did. So some of the places I couldn't get that connection, so I kind of left them out. But the ones that I did get a good, strong story from, I kept in.
So is this YMCA still being used? Is it still the same building that this crime took place in years ago?
It is. Well, the top floor used to be a residence program.
Okay.
Where they had young men or men starting their life over could have a place to stay. And they only use it for storage now, but they still have some employees that report seeing a man up there that walks the hall.
What's the cemetery one? You said you take people to a cemetery, St. Brennan Cemetery. What happened there?
Well, St. Brennan's is actually at a hotel that I...
Down the street here?
Yeah, just down the street.
That's where you take them?
Mm-hmm.
Is that supposed to be haunted?
It is.
I've heard nothing but great stuff about that place. Do they like the fact that people think it's haunted, or does that keep people away? Oh, really?
No, they do.
They embrace it. Okay.
They do, yeah, because they've had activity. And that's actually, that whole plot down there is a cemetery. And it was L'Abbaye Cemetery, which was a French cemetery. But before that, it was an Indian burial.
Okay.
And then the French came, of course, and took it over. And then the English and then the Americans, which was us, the first permanent settlers took it.
Yeah.
And it was used for hundreds of years. It was quite large. And then when John Jacob Astor, if you ever heard that name, you probably have.
I have, yeah, sure.
The fourth actually decided he wanted to develop that land, and that's how it became part of our downtown district.
So, but did you have a tour where you actually went into an actual cemetery?
I did have a cemetery tour. That was a little different. That's not a haunted one. That's that was just a little bit of history of cemeteries, how they started as graveyards attached to churches. And they got privatized, became garden cemeteries, and the different motifs engraved on cemetery tombstones. And stuff.
Were you, like, when you toured the cemeteries, were you, like, hoping something would happen so people would freak out? And
Yeah, I guess, you know, that one, you know.
They're scary places. I mean, you go there at night.
Right.
They kind of speak to you, you know, whether you, That's I don't true. Know. I always got freaked out. When we went into cemeteries as a kid, I was scared to death.
No, and then there's a lot of history, like, you know, the iron gates they used to have around some of the old cemeteries.
Yeah.
Those were to keep the spirits contained within that cemetery for they wouldn't wander the street. And
iron gates? You think a spirit would be able to navigate through an iron, right? I mean,
yeah,
like maybe not a mausoleum, but if you're,
no,
I don't know. Wow, that's interesting. Where can people find out information, Tim, about the about your tours? And how much are they? Give us a little more information.
Well, I have a Facebook
okay.
and a website, but the Facebook's better. You can contact me through that.
Okay.
And they're $25 per person for 12 or older and $20 for 12 and under. And or you could call me if you want to. Phone number is, do you want to give me that?
If you want absolutely. Sure.
It's 920-499-2783.
Okay.
Yeah.
There you go. Well, one more time, just in case people are.
Oh, yeah. It's 920-499-2783 or on my Facebook, which is just Green Bay Ghost Tours. And you can reach out there. I do have a website, but it's not really active. So
how do you say, I saw the website earlier today and it says family friendly ghost tours. That seems a little scary. There's people that bring young kids on these?
Yes.
Wow.
I don't recommend anybody under five.
Okay.
But it's real light. I actually dress in tux with tails and a top hat. I paint my face. I pay Charles, the ghost host. And it's real whimsical. I kind of get goofy with it. I tell some really corny dad jokes or whatever.
Okay.
I keep it light. So it's engaging for kids and grownups. It's got a lot of history for the grownups and ghost stories for the kids.
I would think kids would have nightmares if they saw you with a painted face and this telling about these horrible. Conrad, would you go on a ghost tour?
I don't know. Probably. It sounds pretty interesting.
He's in his 20s and he'd have nightmares, I guarantee.
I don't like horror movies. So.
No. Yeah. So $25, that's not bad. How long do the tours last, typically?
It's about 2 hours.
Okay.
Yeah, it depends. If people want to go a little longer, if it's a smaller group and they all know each other and they just want to take their time with a stop, we can do that. You know, it's no set time limit, I guess.
Have you ever thought about, like, greasing some palms and getting people to, like, pop out at them during the, like, make it like a haunted ghost tour? Like,
well, I give a disclaimer in the beginning.
Okay.
I always tell people that's not going to be on my tour.
Okay.
Because I want them to have a real experience.
Yeah,
If they do have one, I want them to kind of share it and not feel like I'm playing with them or teasing them or anything like that.
So one of my questions for you, my guest is Tim Fries. He runs Green Bay Ghost Tours. Am I saying that right? Green Bay, or is it Green Bay Bus?
No, it's Green Bay Ghost Tours.
Yeah,
you're right. Yep.
So you obviously, I was going to ask you this, but kind of the first thing you said about your daughter seeing your father at the end of her bed the night he died, you believe in ghosts then? Have you had any other experiences in your life where you've thought you've made contact with a different world or something?
Yeah. I was a member of an investigative team here, a ghost hunting team.
Oh.
And my first experience was at a museum in Kewaunee. And it was really pretty trippy, but I had a flashlight that, if they're powerful enough, they can turn on a flash and off flashlight for you. And when it was doing this, I would ask it to do this entity. And when it did that, it actually caused me to feel physically ill.
Wow.
Every time it would do that for me. Huh. So that was kind of my big experience. I've had minor ones here and there, you know, but that was like huge.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah. What's the point on the tour? What's been the most interesting response you've had on a tour? Do you have little kids or even adults that like kind of lose it and get freaky and have to leave, or has anything like that ever happened?
No, we've had.
If I was a ghost, I would mess with people like you would not believe. Like if you're on a tour and I was a ghost, I would make it my goal to scare the living daylights out of everybody. Why don't they do that? They should. That's a perfect opportunity.
That's true. I mean, we've had experiences. One of the ghosts is Helen Morrow, who haunts the Captain's Walk Winery.
Oh yeah,
and she never got married, so she's still looking. And
ooh.
So she'll,
Conrad, take a memo.
That's right. She'll tug on your pants if she likes you.
Come on, really?
Serious. Yeah, she's half a dozen times she's tugged on
I guys. I think the intimacy would be tough with someone on the other side. Like,
yes.
Unless it's all in your head, maybe, I guess. Well, that's interesting. So what's her story? What's Helen Morrow's story?
Well, she inherited that house from her dad, who was quite a prominent man here in Green Bay. And she lost it in 1920 because back in the late 1800s, early 1900s, women weren't allowed to work and she never got married. So eventually, financially, she couldn't keep it and she sold it. But she always told people that she would get it back somehow. And well, she's got it back now.
So what happens there? What, like when you go in there, do you have other than the pant tugging, are there like have people had experiences seeing her there or what?
Yeah, well, there had been different situations where they've seen her young, middle age, and she died at like 92.
Oh man.
Yeah. So they've also had glasses move, lights flicker, lights turn on and off by themselves.
That's hilarious. Not hilarious. It's scary, but it's interesting to me. All this stuff. I love hearing about this stuff. Okay. Tim Fries is our guest with Green Bay Ghost Tours. We'll have more with Tim coming up next. Harry Barr is here at 8:35. Let me know how you feel about the mustache, folks. That's our question of the night. 855-752-4842. Tim is rocking his, and we'll be right back. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba on the Civic Media Radio Network. I remember the most.
News from the Center, WRCE.
This is a special announcement from Civic Media. Civic Media believes that violence has no place in the political process and stands in stark opposition to the principles of democracy. It stifles constructive dialogue, compromises the integrity of democratic institutions, and threatens the safety of individuals and communities. Democracy thrives on peaceful discourse, mutual respect, and adherence to the rule of law. It's crucial to engage with differing viewpoints respectfully and to avoid the temptation to vilify political opposition. Such vilification only deepens divisions and hampers the collaborative spirit necessary for effective governance. We, both individuals and media organizations, must reaffirm our commitment to the principles of democracy by fostering an environment where ideas can be exchanged peacefully and constructively. By doing so, we allow for a just, inclusive, and democratic society for all.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Mustn't all despair, there's a secret you should know. To capture the hearts of the fair, you may not have the looks, you may not have the dash, but you'll win yourself a girl if you've only got a mustache. A mustache, a mustache, if you've only got a mustache.
This is it. Thank you, Tom, you may for sharing that. Tom from New Berlin sent that. This is a great song. Conrad, don't kill it now. This is the money part.
Have a name. You may not have the cash, but you'll make that girl your own if you've only got a mustache. A mustache, a mustache, if you've only got a mustache.
All right. That's pretty good. I think, you may be big. What movie is that from? It's from A Million Ways to Die in the West with Liam Neeson. That's where you can hear more. Apparently, maybe it's a musical. Very mustache-centric. Let us know your thoughts on the mustache. 855-752-4842. My guest is Tim Fries. He runs Green Bay Ghost Tours. We're having a little paranormal talk here, which I love. Friday night is a great night to talk about ghosts, the paranormal, whatever. And I'll be honest, I don't know where I stand in this. I'm open to it.
Yeah.
I've had a couple weird things in my life that could probably be explained if you really wanted to dive into it. But I'm open to it. I think it's fun to talk about. And I think, you know, doing these tours, like, it must be, like, are people that go on these tours believers, or are they kind of skeptical? Where are they at when they take these tours? Are they just looking for something fun to do?
It's a little mix of everything. I get a lot of, how do I say that, men are like you, they're kind of skeptical.
Yeah.
But that's okay. They like the history usually. But I do get a little mix of everything, you know. Like I say, you don't have to be in the ghost to like the tour.
Yeah.
There is a lot of history,
okay.
A lot of exploring of these buildings that are kind of fun.
Yeah.
So a lot of guys get into that, you know.
Would you say Green Bay is, like, has a reputation of being a more haunted city than, like, Appleton or Neenah or Fond du Lac or somewhere like that? Like, are some cities more susceptible to the paranormal?
Ooh. Yeah, I guess. A lot of people are surprised that there's actually a ghost tour here.
Really?
Yeah, they don't think we have ghosts here. But I think, yeah, we're bigger cities, I think, because there's more things that happen in
right.
bigger cities, you know.
More history, too, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
What's your favorite Green Bay, Wisconsin, or Northeast Wisconsin ghost story? What's the one you've, did you see that? I don't want to freak you out, but sneaking up on you. Conrad's tomfoolery there. What is your favorite ghost story in Wisconsin or the Green Bay area?
Oh, man, I love, I don't want to single anyone out, but I do like...
want to offend the ghosts?
Yeah, but I do love, Captain's Walk Winery ghost with Helen Morrow. She's so active, and she's so, the story is so good. I mean, it's it's a sad story, but I also like the YMCA too, with the murder, double murder.
Okay.
But yeah, Helen, she's.
So she's looking for a boyfriend at 92. Well, she's passed, so she's still. But do you think she got to a later part of her life and regretted not getting a little more action when she was younger? Is that what she's.
I think so. Because, well, I mean, I don't know. She was a bit of a partier, you know, yeah. I guess. And all her. She was six siblings or six daughters in total. And she was the only
six
one.
Six daughters?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And she was only one out of all six that didn't get married. So,
oh, boy.
I don't know.
Oh, she had five siblings, you're saying?
Yeah.
I mean, oh, yeah. Okay. That's I got it. You. Yep. Okay. All right. We have a phone call. Let's put that.
It's Sherry from Horicon.
Oh, fantastic. Hi, Sherry.
Hey, Pete. Hi, everybody.
Good. Great to hear from you. Say hello to Tim.
Hello, Tim. Oh, I love. I believe in ghosts, definitely. My daughter and I have gone ghost hunting quite a few times and seen many orbs.
Really?
And it's so amazing, and get photos of them. And so
you have photos,
dad,
Sherry?
Oh, yeah, I do.
No kidding.
There's one cemetery south of Juneau. I live in Horicon.
Yeah.
And 26th goes through there. And south of Juneau, there's a town. And for the life of me, I can't think of the name of it. My daughter is my memory, and she's at work. I can't call her. So, but anyway, there's a town south of a little itty-bitty town on the, it'd be on the west, east side of 26, heading down south from Juneau. And anyway, there's a cemetery. You turn into this one road, and there's a cemetery back there. And one of my ladies, I used to be a thing. And one of my ladies, she had passed and got buried there. And so, like, a couple weeks later, my daughter and I went there and at night and looking for orbs. And there were a few floating around, but there had to be at least 30. There was a statue of Jesus with his arms raised out, 30 Whoa. Floating around Jesus. It still gives me goosebumps.
Were you scared?
No.
That's what fascinates me is people that are into ghosts and the ghost hunt aren't scared. That's crazy.
There was a ghost at this haunted cemetery that was, again, south of Juneau, but that one you would go east. After research, it's very old, very, very old.
Okay.
And, you know, of course, it had some wires a long time ago put up to keep people out. But anyway, it was winter. And so my daughter and I went there at night, and there was snow and stuff. And, of course, there weren't any tracks anywhere. Nobody ever goes there.
Oh, my gosh. And
so... Anyway, we just got in there and started walking around with our flashlights, and it was like, this is really, really, really creepy. And we watched Ghost Adventures a lot. We did, you know, back then, and that's when they were going talking more about portals, you know,
yeah,
and how you have to worry about somebody attaching to you.
Oh my gosh!
And stuff. So anyway, Haley, I was right next to her. And she felt the back of her hood on her winter coat pull down. I'm looking at her, and I saw it pull down.
Oh, no.
And right then, Haley and I are, let's get out of here. So we left that one. But the reason I called is because my dad had passed away a year ago, February. And he's a doctor of biology. And so we grew up with bugs and everything, and he loved dragonflies. And they lived up, you know, where Manitouish Waters is.
Sure. Hey, Sherry, do me a favor. Can you hang on for just a – can you hang on through the news so we can finish? I want to hear the rest of the story. Do you mind?
I would love to.
Okay, fantastic. Sherry's going to finish her story about her father. Tim Fries is here. We're talking ghosts. I'm going to ask Tim what his favorite horror movies are when we come back, and we're going to read some more news.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE. Crude and Dom.
Join the Devil's Advocates on Monday. We've got Congressman Mark Pocan. He'll tell us why he's advocating for Joe Biden to step down as the presidential candidate for the Dems.
The Devil's Advocates, weekdays 4 till 6.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.